Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon.
So this guy's yelling at me. He said, "What kind of Christian are you?" And he started getting really close. I thought at this point, I hope Mike stands in front of me between this guy to help. You know who Mike is. He's the guy that gels his hair straight up, comes up here. Yeah, that thing is sharp. So I thought if he came after me, I'd just grab Mike and say, "Try, come. I said, whoa, you know what? Your wife and kids are fine sleeping overnight in your car. You know what's going to ruin them? It's your spirit."
From time to time in our Christian walk, we will stumble and fall. It happens to all of us. And we've often been told how important it is not to stay down, but to get back on our feet and keep walking. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to take it a step further and have you ask yourself this question. When you do get back on your feet, which way will they be headed? Here he is with a message entitled, "Which Way Will You Fall?"
You know, the reality of life is not necessarily what happens in the public and on stage as much as what happens behind the doorways of our homes, where we lock horns and we come to a point where we don't know what to do when we're at the edge with one another. But that will happen all the time. See, it's not hard when you're at the top of a hill and you're just right at the top and you've won something. You give testimony to the Lord. You know, it's pretty easy to be courageous then. See, I want to thank God, praise God, because I just won the Reader's Digest sweepstakes of $28 million. Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But what happens when you lost it all? I still want to praise God. I'm bankrupt and I lost everything, but praise God. You don't hear too many people saying that. But is he any less worthy of thanks when we're at the bottom of the valley than when we're at the top of the mountain? How you respond at the bottom of the valley really is the real you. Because you see, when you're at the top of your game and when you're in the zone and when you get these nice trophies, that might reveal your talents. But when you are in the valley and you're squeezed, that reveals your character. That reveals the spirit in you, what kind of spirit you have. You see, because when you get squeezed, some things happen here, the anger and the frustration or whatever it might be. Then that part of you, that spirit, that starts to come out. Well, that's pretty important. That's what God wants to know all about. That's the real you. How many of us get to the point where we're so low, we just want to, jumping off a cliff just starts to seem like a pretty good option. It's pretty inviting. How many times we get into such a low ebb, we just want to run away. Just want to leave our families and just bail out and run. Just get out of there. We're at the low. See, that's an important part because that really reveals the true state of our life and our maturity and our faith. I mean, how many of us would say, I've come to that. How many of you would say, "I've come to some pretty low times in my life"? Raise your hand. Yeah. I mean, I did. I got so low. I mean, I just wanted to run away from it all. Just leave everything. And I did. I just ran away. I was 4 years old. And I was so discouraged. And I ran to my uncle's house upstairs in the apartment. And my uncle called my mom and said, "I have a runaway fugitive that I'm harboring. Would you know who this is?" We did have phones in those days. But I remember being so low. We all go through those times. But that's when your spirit is really revealed, isn't it? When you're getting trophies, that's your talent being revealed. When you're low, your spirit gets revealed. And when you see someone at their lowest ebb and their spirit is still radiant, now that impacts lives, isn't that true? That's when people's lives are changed. And that's why we need to talk about it. What do you do when you fall? What do you do? Because really, that's when many people will be influenced. They're watching. I remember playing a softball team in Hilo, and there's a thing called kumiai, which is a big softball. It's played by Japanese people that actually they put it in their neighborhoods into a thing called kumiais. And they're all Buddhist, except me and one of the guys on our team that invite me to play on the team. And so just all Buddhists. And so we were 2 years I was playing softball with them. Then finally, one day, two and a half years later, one of the guys, they had this big get together and they said, "Would you pray and then tell us what you do in your church? And I thought, wow. Later on, I asked him, how come 2.5 years now you're asking me? He said, you know, for 2.5 years, we watched you. We watched you when you went into second base and someone knocked you in the side with their elbow. We listened to see if you would say anything. We watched you for 2.5 years. A lot of people watch, not at the top of your game, but at the bottom of your game. And when you do well at the bottom of your game, boy, does that influence you. I remember Anna and I playing another softball team in Hilo. This was a church softball team, and it was Tongans. They must have just come from Tonga because they had lava lavas on, no shoes, no gloves. They show up for softball. I'm pitching. The first guy comes up to the plate. No, not the side of the plate, on top of the plate. He stands there with the bat looking at me. He's all niho ole in his teeth. And he's like, and I'm pitching. I'm saying, you better get off the plate because I'm going to pitch. I'm going to knock the rest of your teeth out. You're going to be all niho ole. So the whole dugout clears. Ah, they laugh at him. Well, he gets off to the side of the plate. First pitch, he swings so hard, he misses it. His body turns in air, and he falls down onto the dust. The whole group comes out, laugh at him. He dusted his lava lava off, got back up to the home plate. I pitched it, and by mistake, he hit it. Just kind of a dribbler, goes to the second baseman, but that wasn't the problem. He starts taking off for third base. I guess he figured third was closer than first. And when you field the ball and you're the second baseman, to get him out, which way do you throw the ball? But we got him out, 1, 2, 3. And then it was their turn to go out. So we went in, and we're really good Christians now. They don't have gloves, but we didn't offer them ours. We just hold them. So they go out and take positions. No specific position. They just kind of line up over here, over there, over there. It looked like dodgeball out there. They're all of them. Our first guy gets up, whack, he hits it out into the right field. This guy starts going backwards, trips. You can hear the ball hit his chest from our dugout. Boom. They all come up and laugh at him. He picks up the ball and he throws it. But not to first, he throws it to the center fielder. The center fielder gets it, he throws it back to him. They're all laughing. We're running the bases. I watched them, they were having a blast losing. I think the score was like 29-0. But you know, when the game was done and I had watched them and their spirit was revealed, even when they were losing, it was so radiant. Contagious, that when the game was done, I secretly wanted to find a way to join the Tongan team. You see, all of us are going to have our knees buckle. We'll all have struggles. But you have to remember, it's not how high you blow up. It's really what direction is your feet, your spirit pointing in when you touch ground again. And the Bible tells us that all of us are going to struggle. But he gives us a promise, and that the Lord says this, that I'll be with you, because you know why? I know exactly what it means to get pushed to the edge. I know exactly, because that happened with him in Luke chapter 4. He can relate to you and me because he knows exactly what we're going through. Let's read at the top of our notes together. Ready? Go. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus was pushed to the edge, wasn't he? And he was said, jump. He was told, jump. He knows when we get to the edge, he knows what it feels like. And he's able to come and help us. You know why he's going to help us? Because he knows, would you write a number one, we all have and will fall. We all have and will fall. He said, well, is that like an excuse to fall, Wayne? I mean, since we all know, we might as well just go for it. No. But we all will, and we have fallen. I mean, with a raise of hands, how many of you would say, you know, I've made like at least one mistake in my lifetime, just one. Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you would admit, I know it's hard, but say maybe two. Maybe two. Yeah. Yeah, we all have. And you say, well, really? Sure. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, let's read it. Ready? Go. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For how many?
All.
Yeah, circle that word all. That means us, folks. So we better know what to do when we hit bottom. Because we will, and we have. And you know what happens sometimes when we hit bottom? Our spirit just spews toxicity, spews the worst stuff. And what stains our life isn't the fall. It's our spirit reacting to that fall. We better know how to fall. Better know how to fall. And what God gives us as resources when we hit the bottom and our knees buckle. Let's read the next scripture and you'll see what we're talking about. Ready? Go. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yeah. See, he said, I will be with you because I know what it means to get pushed to the edge. But please, please, please listen. Hear this. The devil can push you to the edge, but he has no authority to push you over. You jump if you want to. It's your choice. But he has no authority to destroy your marriage. He might push you to the edge, but you're the one who gives in, bails out, destroys. You see, even Jesus was pushed to the edge, but then he says, now you jump. The devil has no authority to do that. You see that in the book of Job. He wanted to take Job's life, and the devil went to the Lord and said, give me his life. The only reason he serves you, because he's got a lot of money. Take his money away and see if he serves you. So I'll just kill him. And the Lord said, no, you can push him to the edge, but you can't take Job's life. You will not do that. We'll see that all the time. He said, he'll push you to the edge, only you choose to jump. So we can't say the devil pushed me. No, he'll get us to the edge. But that's where we need God's wisdom. That's where we need his help. Reminds me of the guy who was at the skyscrapers way, way up, and there was a lounge at the top and where you could open the door and kind of go onto this lanai with a railing and look at the view, the city way beneath. So there was a Portuguese guy that went up to the lounge way at the top of the skyscraper, way about 40th floor. So he opened the door and he looked out over the city and the wind was blowing and he said, whoo, this baga is windy today. And there was a guy sitting there and had been sitting there for a while on a chair. And the man replied and said, yeah, in fact, the wind is so strong, you can actually jump out and it'll blow you right back in. Portuguese guy goes, no way, do I look stupid? You try first. So the guy says, you really want me to? Yeah. Then I believe you. So he gets up off the chair and the guy just falls over the rail and the wind goes whoosh, blows him right back in. Portuguese guy goes, no can, this no can. Try one more time. So the guy says, okay. And he just falls over the edge and the wind whoosh, blows him right back. He sits back on the chair, throws out his arm and says, see? Well, by this time the Portuguese guy is believing him. So he says, that's it, I'm going to try that. That is amazing. So he jumps over the edge and splat. This is just one joke. These buggers are crying down here. Give them Kleenex. I'm not even pow yet. Try wait. So he goes, and then this guy now sitting on the chair and he's kind of smiling. And the bartender says to him, hey, Superman, you never did like Portuguese, did you? See, you never need to cry. You see, the devil can push us to the edge, but only we choose to jump over. Now you say, but what if I am weak and we do fall? I mean, is that just saying that the Bible is just giving us permission to fall because all of us are going to fall anyway? We just ask God for forgiveness, right? No. Nothing could be further from the truth. We got to deal, however, with this thing about knees buckling. Because if we don't, you know what will happen? This happens in so many places. When one of us does fall, the rest of us, we don't know how to deal with it. Say a daughter gets pregnant in the church, and all of a sudden nobody knows what to do. Should we just hide her, put her into hiding for a while, just deny it? A man or a woman with their best intentions, yet they fall into a problem and they get a divorce. All of a sudden, what do? How do we handle that? A brother who's been worshiping with us, but because of an indictment that may have been before he came to know Christ, now ends up in jail. What do we do with him? We're ashamed, we're embarrassed. Oh, they're from our church. What are people going to think? You see, one of the things we have to remember is this. We don't have a problem forgetting that we're Christians. We have a problem forgetting that we're human. Jesus hasn't forgotten that. No, it's not forgiveness is not an excuse to continue in sin. God's going to forgive us anyway. No, you never take that for granted. But neither do we just deny a problem in our midst. That's just as bad, isn't it? Or we condescend, or we look down and askance at somebody. I thought you were a Christian. What are you doing that for? Welcome to this one. And we sort of just ostracize each other quietly. And we just look down at people. Oh, look at him. He's supposed to be a good Christian. Look what happened to his kids. And then we just kind of pull away from this person who just becomes so lonely. Someone said it this way, and I partly agree. He said, Christians are the only ones that I know of that enjoy shooting their wounded. I thought, that cannot be. And we almost take shot at each other. We say, well, yeah, that one's got a problem. Yep, that has a problem. Yeah, she has a problem too. Yeah, they're supposed to be Christians and they're not. And we almost go on the radio and tell people how bad that one is, bad that one is, that bad that one is, bad that one is. And so pretty soon, this is no longer a hospital. It's an interrogation camp. No wonder people don't want to come. Because they say, if I become a Christian, I can't sin anymore. And if I do, I got to keep it real quiet and just kind of put it under the carpet. And the Lord is saying, stop. No, we don't try to sin, but your knees will buckle, and that's when we need one another. We need each other's help to pull in. Isn't that love? When did Jesus show his greatest love to us? When we were at the top of the mountain? No, when we were at the bottom of the valley. And so the Lord is saying, you have to have enough heart to not necessarily excuse nor tolerate, but embrace those when their knees buckle. So we want to talk about that. So the question is not necessarily giving justification to sin, but it's not whether or not we will fall. Would you write in your bullet? The question is, which way will you fall? Which way? What do you mean, which way? You see, the devil pushes you to the edge, gets you right to the edge. And he says, now jump. You can fall this way to your death and your peril because the devil comes to steal, to kill, and ultimately to what? To destroy you. On the other hand, you remember the Lord says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he knows what it means to be at the edge because he was there as well. So the Lord says you can either fall away from the Lord. If you'll turn around, you'll see me standing behind you. I'm there to help you. You can either fall away from the Lord or you can fall upon the Lord. Yeah, our knees will buckle. We will fall. Question is, which way you're going to fall? You're going to fall and go with the devil? Are you going to fall upon the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm struggling. My heart is hurting. My family's not doing good. I take a day off of work. I go into the woods and I cry out to God. I'm going to fall on God. Or I can just say, forget this family. Forget this wife. Forget this wahine. I'm out of here. And we bail out. But you know what happens when that kind of spirit starts to take over? You start to get what the Bible calls an evil or an unbelieving heart. Or unbelieving means I don't believe God really wants to help me here. Or I don't know if he wants to see my face. I might as well go all the way. And we just bail. No. The Lord says, be careful. In fact, let's read the scripture together. Ready? Go. Take care, brethren, lest there should be any in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. You see, God is alive. But we choose to fall away from him. And we have the tendency that our very first parents had, that when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned. When they sinned, what did they do? Did they come to the Lord? What'd they do? They ran and hid away from him. And we have the tendency to do the same. And God is saying, no, don't do that. If you're going to fall, fall upon the Lord. Fall upon his grace. What that means is when I blow it, don't let the devil deal with your sin, because either he'll condemn you with it or he'll cause you to cover it up so it's tolerated deep on the inside, or he'll say to you, you've gone this far, you might as well just go all the way and bail out. When you mess up, fall on Christ and say, Lord, you need to deal with this because I don't know how to deal with it. What shall I do? Let Jesus deal with your sin. He'll give you a way home. He also says something else. He says, if you fall away from the Lord, what will happen is you'll have an unbelieving heart. Now, the Bible says sin is, the wages of sin is what? Death. Now, there's two definitions of death. One is a ceasing of life or the cessation of life. You die. Or the second definition is the separation from life. That's called death. You're separated from life. And when you sin and you follow after the enemy and he says you might as well go all the way, what happens is you're separating or falling away from the living God. And one man defined hell as that way. Hell is for eternity, you falling away from the presence of God into darkness. And every moment you're falling further and further for the rest of eternity, never to return again. Now, that's a gnarly image, isn't it? But here's the option. The option is this. Let's read the next scripture together. Ready? Go. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Well, if you're going to hold somebody's hand, you got to be near to him. And that's what the Lord is saying. When you are pushed to the edge, Wayne, when you're pushed to the edge, sister, when you're pushed to the edge, brother, I am there to hold your hand. I'll be there. You just got to see that and fall upon the Lord, not away from him. Now, the Hebrew phrase, he will not be hurled headlong, is an interesting phrase. It actually means if you hold on to the Lord's hand and your knees buckle, you won't crack your head. That's what it means. But even beyond that, here's what it means. It says if you'll hold his hand or allow him to hold on to yours, you'll not be hurled headlong. What that means is your knees might buckle, but you will not be permanently scarred. Isn't that a neat phrase? Yeah, I'll stumble, but this event won't scar me permanently. See, if you fall away from the Lord, the ultimate is to destroy you. You will be permanently scarred. But if you fall upon the Lord, you won't. Will there be some pain? Yep. But the Lord says this, I will work all things together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Fall on the Lord. So God is saying you will not be permanently scarred. You'll go through a situation in your family, but if you fall upon the Lord in the midst of it, you'll not be permanently scarred. You'll go through this event and this situation, and you can either bail out and jump over, blame other people, and have a bitter spirit, evil, unbelieving heart, or you can fall upon the Lord, and I'll hold you by the hand, and you'll not be permanently scarred. And I'll work it all together for good. And I thought, what a wonderful, wonderful promise. But you see, what happens is we start to get pushed to the edge. And then what happens is we get afraid and fear comes up. We start to get mad. And we get mad at our wife, our kids. And we start to see the stuff come out of our spirit. And we start blaming everybody. You made me mad. You made me mad. It's your fault. And God's going to show us something about that.
I come to glorify. Identify with you, speak your name as my own.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, Which Way Will You Fall? By Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, tomorrow you'll hear some true confessions of Pastor Wayne and see a side of him that might leave you in a bit of shock and awe. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship and heard each day at this time. Thank you for listening and please tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King, as I'll sing, I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing, I choose to glorify your name.
Hi, this is Wayne Cudero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.